Hebrews 11, starting in verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. All right. We're sort of particularly interested in verse 26. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the riches in Egypt. That phrase. All right. Can you imagine the riches or the treasures of Egypt? At the time of Moses, Egypt was at its peak. And it was at the peak of its wealth, richest country in the known world. A fellow named by the name of Philip Judge wrote an article in regards to Egypt in the time of Joseph. And so we're talking 200 years prior to Moses or thereabouts. And he says that the mines that were controlled by Egypt brought in 35,000 ounces of gold. That's 1,000 kilos, roughly, of gold. And 160,000 ounces of silver. So that's 4,500, nearly 4,600 kilos of silver each year. All right. Now, Egypt at this time was probably about the size of Queensland. Okay, so that's a lot. There's a mine down at Townsville, and it only does 115,000 ounces a year. 115,000 ounces a year. So it's probably three times that, but I mean, we've got excavators and all sorts of machines these days. So the value, the riches that Egypt have, or that they had, we're talking $90 million in Australian dollar terms, today's dollar, of gold each year coming into their revenues. So this country was extremely rich, okay? It had a vast control of territory, had great cities of splendor, had a mighty military, okay, military might. It had advanced education, especially in architecture. And Moses had all this at his fingertips. He had it all at his fingertips. But Moses considered something greater value than the treasures of Egypt. Okay. Now, he didn't compare the riches of Egypt with the riches of Christ. He compared the riches of Egypt with the reproach of Christ. Okay. He compared the mocking that he would receive. He compared the disgrace, the shame, and said, these are of greater value than any treasures in Egypt, or than all the treasures of Egypt. He compared the suffering and affliction with his people against being called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And he said, I'd rather suffer than have that name. Why? Because he saw something. He saw as seeing him who is invisible. In verse 27. And I will put it to you that he saw Christ as a treasure greater than any treasure on earth. Matthew 6, 19 to 21. Says, lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. We would have to say Moses had this worked out. He wasn't worried about earthly treasures that were going to perish. Moses had a right value on things. He valued spiritual things greater than physical earthly things. And from Hebrews we can say that Moses' heart was not in earthly riches but in heavenly places. Now, we see there that there will be treasures, plural, for those that lay up treasures in heaven. I hope that yous are laying up treasures in heaven for eternity. But there is already a treasure in heaven of greatest value awaiting us. And so I want you to consider with me now Christ as our treasure. Turn a couple of pages to Matthew 13, and we have here two parables, Matthew chapter 13, verse 44-46. Actually, we'll just do 45 and 46. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Now, that parable and the one in verse 44, both these parables speak about what happens when someone finds something of great value. When someone finds something of great value, they follow after it. They forsake all that they have and follow after it. And Christ is our pearl of great price. We are to forsake all and follow him. So why is Christ our treasure? Well, let's look at the person of Jesus Christ. And what I want to do, I'm just going to run through names of Christ, descriptions of Christ, things he does for us. And I'll give you some references, if I can remember. I forgot to put them in my notes, so I started putting some, and if I remember them, I'll yell them at you. All right. He is Jesus, John 9:11. He is Jesus of Nazareth. He is the Messiah. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He is our righteousness. He is the Creator, Colossians 1:16. He is our propitiation. He is our advocate. He is our Savior. He is the Alpha and Omega, Revelation 1:11. He is the author and finisher of our faith, Hebrews 12:2. He is the bread of life. He is the deliverer. He is the good shepherd, John 10:11. He is our great high priest, Hebrews 4:14. He is the I Am, John 8:58. He is Emmanuel, God with us, Matthew 1:23. Are you getting a picture of this treasure? Why Christ is our treasure? His name shall be Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, Isaiah 9:6, the Prince of Peace. He is the way, the truth, and the life, John 14:6. He is the true vine, John 15:1. He is the Word, John 1:1. He is the door, John 10:9. He is the resurrection and the life. He is the Son of Man. He is the Son of God. He is the light, John 8:12. He is our Redeemer. He is the risen Lord. He is our rock. He is the chief cornerstone. He is our mediator. He is the Lamb of God. Now, as S.M. Lockridge said in his My King sermon. I wish I could describe him to you. Now, I haven't even gone through half of his names that we find in the Bible. It's just a small selection. But he is indescribable. He is indescribable. He's been exalted above every name. Philippians 2, 9 and 11. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He is to be praised because he's worthy of the praise. Revelation 5:12 says, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." He is our pearl of great price. He is our greatest treasure. So in those descriptions we see the person of Christ and we see some of his perfect work as our great high priest, as our advocate, as the good shepherd. John got it right when he said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." In Ephesians 2:7, it tells us that in the ages to come, God will show the exceeding riches of his grace. Now, I believe that it's not just that, but he's going to, in eternity, be showing us, revealing to us himself, his complete character, not just the attribute of grace. In Exodus, God revealed to Moses that he is the self-existing one. He said, "I am that I am." Now that carries the idea also that he is the self-existing one that eternally reveals himself. And we see that through the Bible, through the Old Testament, God revealed certain characteristics or attributes or qualities about himself. For example, in Genesis 22:14, Abraham names the place there, Mount Moriah, after God and calls it Jehovah Jireh. God will provide, or God will do it. In Exodus 17:15, he is revealed as Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah our banner, God our banner. In Judges 6:24, he's revealed as Jehovah Shalom, God is peace, Jehovah is peace. So in the ages to come, God will show us his exceeding riches, the exceeding riches of himself. He is our greatest treasure. He is our greatest treasure because of who he is. He is worthy of our focus. He is worthy to receive our adoration. He is worthy to receive our worship. He is worthy of honor and glory. He's worthy of our time. All right, so what application do we make from this, knowing that Christ is our treasure, that Christ is our greatest treasure? Look around. Look at the things of this world. What value do you place on them? What value do you place on the things in your house? These things that belong to you when you die will either belong to someone else, or they'll rust away. Someone might steal them. Might get eaten by moths. One day they're going to burn with a fervent heat. They're not worth anything. Not worth a cent. Truly, we do need some things to live with. God will provide. It may not be physical things that you treasure. When we look back in Matthew 6, go back there. Matthew 6. And when I read through this, starting from the start of the chapter, Jesus warns us, do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. End of verse 2, he says, they have their reward, those that shout it out and tell everyone. When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites. Verse 5, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners and the streets, so that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Verse 16, when thou fast, be not as the hypocrites, as of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. These people are looking for approval. They're looking for gratitude. They're looking, or they have a sense of pride. I hope none of those things are treasures of yours. If you have not found this treasure in Christ that is hid, or that pearl of great price, I know the place where you can find, I know where you can go digging. And I'm sure you'll find him. I know that treasure is in there. And if you seek diligently, you will find him. Don't delay if you don't know him. Don't miss the opportunity to find this greatest treasure. We have Bibles. You can take one home. I'll give you mine if you don't know one. Don't miss the opportunity to grab hold of that treasure. This life is short. There's people here that'll help. For those of us that know Christ, we know that he's his greatest treasure. He's our greatest treasure, and we would say we don't need anything else because we have him. I've got that greatest treasure. I've got that pearl of great price. I found him. I have brothers and sisters. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Brethren, where are your eyes focused? Where's your treasure? Is it Christ? Do you love him? Brethren, we have the greatest treasure. And one day, one glorious day, we're going to be with him for all eternity, and he'll reveal himself to us. All right, I'm going to close in prayer. Pass over someone. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that there's a treasure available, that salvation is available, Lord. And Lord, your desire is that all men should have it. I pray, Lord, if there's any that don't know you, Lord, as their Saviour, that you would work in their hearts. Lord, if they are seeking the treasures of this world, Lord, turn their eyes. Lord, help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.